All right, go with me to Romans chapter 5, if you will. We'll be in finishing the third part of a mini-series on why the saved can never be lost. And I broke this down, didn't try to preach it all in one setting because I wanted, there are a lot of things, this passage is so rich. And there's a lot of things I want to say about this passage. But in review again, why is chapter 5, 1 through 11 in the Bible? Well, Paul wanted to accomplish two purposes. Number one, he wanted the believers at Rome to understand that our justification is just not a guarantee of heaven, but it can be enjoyed right now in the here and now. And the second reason why he wrote verses 1 through 11 is to assure the readers that justification is a lasting thing done by God. It's not something he's going to take away. Received it by faith. In fact, there was something, I believe, going on at Rome from my historical background study that Paul counters the view that salvation is received by faith and preserved by good works. We, from beginning to end, we don't have anything to do with our salvation. What we do in response comes from the Holy Spirit that's living within us. So we have learned that when God declared us righteous, look back again at verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, see, in the chapters 4 and 3, 4, Paul lays out the what's called the doctrine of justification, how we are made right with God, how we are declared righteous. And he says, look what he says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, it's not by works, he says, number one, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then follows that is six blessings that we have because we're right with God. And also six reasons why the saved can never be lost. So we looked at the believer has peace with God. The believer stands in God's grace. The believer has hope of glory. And tonight we're going to begin looking at number four reason is the believer receives divine love. Note verse 5b through 8 again. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, at the moment that we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit, and with that is the love of God in our hearts. And you don't have to muster up the love. It's given to you at the Holy Spirit. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to notice, first of all, verse 5. When a person receives salvation through Jesus, he enters into this spiritual love relationship with God that lasts forever. Because you're saved. The love of God is in your hearts. He's not going to quit loving you, and if you're truly saved, you're not going to quit loving him. Okay? There I said it. Okay? That calls it out, right? God loves us and puts his love in our hearts. Why? Romans 8, 31 through 38. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Paul said, nothing, right? Forever. The love of God is in our hearts when we got saved, according to verse 5. Now, in verses 6 and 8, we see the greatest demonstration of love, God's love for us, who were wicked sinners. Now, let's look at verses 6 through 8. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 6, God sent his son to die for the helpless, powerless, who were unable to come to God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were in Adam. There was nothing in us that even desired God, and we couldn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and save ourselves. You know, it is God who did the work on Calvary for us, right? Notice verse 6 again, if you will, in chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's the second thing I want you to notice. Not only did God send his son to die for the helpless and the powerless who were unable to come to him, the Bible tells us in Romans, the Bible tells us in other places that lost man is unable. He's unable to understand in Corinthians spiritual things. And we're not going to beat it in their head. It has to be spirit given, as Brother Glenn said the other Sunday. Even salvation is spirit given. Even living the Christian life is spirit given. And all that we have, as we read our Bible during the week, the illumination we get from the Holy Spirit is all spirit given. God not only gave us the gift of the Spirit, but he gives us the supernatural ability to understand the scripture when we read it. It's not meant to be understood in the flesh. See? That's why people say, I just can't understand. They want to blame it on King James. They just say, well, I just can't understand. Well, it's spirit given. Okay? So when we were ungodly, we were unrighteous, undeserving, and unlovable sinners. That paints a bleak picture, wasn't it? Until God intervened. Christ's love is selfless, in verse 7, undeserving and beyond human understanding. Note verse 7 again. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Because of faith in Christ, the Bible says that we have peace with God, we stand in God's grace, we rejoice in the hope of glory, and we possess divine love. That's why his children, 1 John says, we love one another, right? We do love one another, right? We might have some misgivings. We might get irritated sometimes with each other. But we love each other, right? Because like I told you this morning, we are not a finished product. God is going to take this bride that has spots and wrinkles. Remember we read this morning? And he's going to change us into a glorious bride when we get to heaven, right? When you get to heaven, you won't be able to complain or gossip about any other believers, right? Because we're all going to be perfect, right, when we get there. And then fifthly, or the fifth reason why the saved can never be lost, and the reason why some of the benefits, spiritual benefits of being justified is found in verse 9 and 10. The believer escapes divine wrath. Look at it again in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled. For when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by faith or by death of his son. Now, let me read that again because this is important. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, remember enemies of God, sin, right, was broken down. We have peace with God. He says, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, what does that mean? In verse 9, much more then, that suggests that there's more to follow that's even more overwhelming and wonderful about being right with God. Because we have been justified, we escape the wrath of God because Christ paid our sin debt. Number one, there is no wrath in eternal hell for the believer, right? We have escaped the second death. Number two, as we learn from 1 Thessalonians, we also escape the tribulation period that's going to come upon the whole world. The believer escapes divine wrath because you're right with God, right? This is a great blessing to us, you know, and it also is a byproduct of being right with God. And, you know, and if he tells us here that we have escaped divine wrath, then the saved can never be lost, right? The only way if you get lost again, then you're going to be under the condemnation of divine wrath, right? But Christ took our wrath on the cross and gave us his righteousness. Notice verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I got a tongue tangler here I want to share with you. It's a paragraph, okay? It blessed my heart. I got it from somebody. That's one thing about being an older preacher. You can't remember where you got it. So like Joe Biden, you can't be accused of plagiarism, right? Listen to this. He saved us through the death of his son, and he will keep us by the life of his son. If God made our salvation secure in the past, how can our spiritual life be in jeopardy now? If he redeemed us in the past and will glorify us in the future, then certainly he will keep us in the present, right? It is a greater work to bring sinners to grace than to bring saints to glory, the greater to the lesser. You see, if he can bring us to a relationship with him, old dead heart, then certainly he can take us to glory, right? because he ever lives to make intercession for us. So because of our faith in Christ, we have peace with God, stand in God's grace, rejoice in the hope of glory, possess divine love, and are delivered from the wrath to come. But then there's a sixth reason why the saved can never be lost, and it's sixth blessing of being right with God, and that's in verse 11. Let me read verse 11 for you, if you will. The Bible says this, and not only so, boy, I like this, even more, not only so, boy, this is getting good, right? It's building on one another, right? It's like saying, hey, the Braves are playing today, and guess what? So-and-so hit a home run, but even more, they were two men on base, and not only so, but they kept hitting home runs during the whole game. See what I'm saying? I know that's a figment, but that's what he says in verse 11. He says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. So the believer has joy in God. It's not in yourself. It's not in your happenstances. It's not in your environment. It's not in your possessions. It's in a relationship, right? And we have joy with God. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Now, if these were not enough, we have joy in God. Joy in the Lord because we have received the gift of reconciliation, being right with God. Once the barrier, right? We were enemies of God, and we're at enmity with God, but that wall of partition of that sin barrier was broken down, and we have peace with God. And we can go on enjoying the peace of God because we have peace with God, right? The word atonement means reconciliation, being brought back into fellowship with God. The term is mentioned also in chapter 5, verse 10 here, and also in Romans 1, 18 through 32. This is the condition of the world outside Christ. They are enemies of God. And that's why they act the way they do. Okay? Paul explained how men declared war on God, and because of this, deserved to be condemned eternally. Everybody, all of us. In fact, in Romans 1, 2, and 3, Paul sets forth the case that we're all condemned. And we all deserve hell. And it's by God's grace he even saved one, right? But we were headed for what we deserve. But God gave us what we don't deserve. And he called us to himself, gave us faith. And he did all these six blessings for us in Romans chapter 5. Instead, he sent is his son, as you will, a peacemaker. We're reconciled. He's the mediator between God and man. You know, we can't come to God on our own. We have to come through his son because of the work that he did, right? And God came to us in human flesh. And we can know God because we know his son. So these six results of justification declare to us eternal salvation. You know, people that doubt their salvation and other denominations that think you can lose it any time, how do you lose it? How do you get it back? How do you know when you get it back? If it's dependent upon you, right? You know what I would be afraid of if my salvation depended on me? I would have lost it the first 5 minutes. How about y'all? Right? Some of us, we get on Facebook, we lose it every time we get on Facebook, right? Are you with me? Right? We lose it every time we go down the highway. And somebody driving don't even deserve to have a driver's license, right? I mean, the human race can't think for itself. It's so dumb, and yet they're able to drive a missile through the streets, you know? Y'all been there, done that, right? Okay, I know some of you is hitting harder than others, but I don't mean to do that, right? You know, I got to admit to you, I'm not a good driver going down the road. Faye can tell you that, right, Faye? Okay. I don't cuss them, but I just tell Faye to write it down, you know. So I'm glad that my salvation doesn't depend on me. The Holy Spirit is just working out what God has already wrought in my heart when I got saved. I hope that these three nights, and I've never let you out this early. Tonight we ought to show the video. But when Brother Glenn gets back, y'all going to sweat it out, right? All right. But I'm telling you tonight, if you don't believe in the doctrine of eternal security, you don't fully understand Romans 5, 1 through 11. And I did my best to teach it to you, right? It's very plain. It means what it says. All these come because of verse 1, because we're right with God, and we repented of our sins and placed our faith in Christ, and we're in an inseparable union with Jesus Christ. I don't doubt my salvation, and I do sin, but when I do, the Holy Spirit convicts me. I confess it, not only to God, but also to those affected by my sin. And I go on, man. I don't worry about it. It's under the blood of Christ, right? Why am I going to worry about something that's been forgiven? Right? Now, stay with me. Brother Rex, we need an amen right there. Okay. All right. Now we're ready to go. All right. No imitation tonight. I was telling Faye, I said, I got a new amener in the church. And proud of it, Rex. Don't let me down, brother. And you got my back. And you know, as long as I'm letting you out early, I got an amener there, right? Okay. All right. They're going to get home and they say, y'all through already? You know, your preacher don't hold you too long, does he? You know? I might as well not. I can think about one. Some people might be saying, well, I don't know. Ain't no need me going if we ain't going to stay there that long. But the older I get, it don't take me long to get to the point, right? Right, Brother Rex?